Hi, this is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts. Can you please help support this vital ministry? Discerning Hearts is a 100% listener-supported Catholic apostolate. Now through the end of August, please prayerfully consider making a sacrificial gift to help us raise $30,000 to fund truly life-changing Catholic programming and prayer. The financial contributions of listeners like you enables us to continue this important ministry. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your donations are fully tax deductible. Again, between now and the end of August, please visit discerninghearts.com to make your donation. Thank you, and God bless you from all of us at Discerning Hearts.
Discerninghearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essev. Monsignor Essev is a priest in the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essev encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by St. Pope John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essev. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Well, so what's on your heart today, Monsignor?
On my heart, Chris, is the Kingdom of God. Jesus came to establish a kingdom as the Son of God coming from heaven into the world. You know, there's 6 billion people on this planet right now, or maybe more. There's 1 billion who are Muslim, and there are maybe 1 billion Hindus, and there are 2.5 billion Christians. And really, he loves everyone. Jesus. Who is this Jesus? I don't think we're really teaching and preaching the kingship of Jesus Christ. In today's gospel, Jesus has the multiplication of loaves. Actually, who is this Jesus that feeds 5,000? He is the one who feeds the universe. Every human being is able to eat because Jesus has produced everything that is. Everyone that he has made, he cares for, body and soul. The animals and the creation that he made. Who is the source of all the world? It's Jesus. John, in his opening of his gospel, says, "The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us." Who is this Jesus? John beautifully wants to teach who he is. Matthew wants to teach who he is to the Jews. Luke wants to teach it to the Gentiles. Mark wants to teach the gospel of Peter as he preaches it. We have these four Gospels, and when we describe and hear the Gospels according to the apostles and what they understood, that is not who we are, who are Christians today. The kingdom of God was established when Jesus, after his suffering and death and resurrection, ascended into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. What is the kingdom that he has come? And I pray that this Sunday that we will make much of Paul's letter. The fourth chapter to the Ephesians tells us, "Brothers and sisters, I, as a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of your calling that you have received. What is the call that you have received with humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace? What is the calling that we have? One body and one Spirit, as you were also called to the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. And that is the word of the Lord. Jesus came to make his Father the Father of the universe through our baptism. All of mankind, God the Father wanted to save by sending his Son, Jesus, into the world. There'll be thousands today that are coming. They'll be coming to the Mass. Thousands and thousands will be here, crowds, just like these crowds that are going to be in this gospel that I will now read. Why are they coming? They're coming to Jesus, are they? Yes. And these crowds, that I really pray that the crowds that are coming to Omaha, Nebraska, to the Mass, the crowds that are coming all over the world, especially to the Christian Mass, will hear this gospel. It's a gospel according to John. It's the 6th chapter, and John is presenting this multiplication of loaves as a miracle to show that Jesus did not come for an earthly kingdom. He's going to turn it down. Now, we want to get that picture, especially, or we're not going to get the message of today. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they had seen the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where are we going to buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him and said, 200 days' wages worth of food is not enough to buy enough for each of them to have a little. In other words, he was trying to figure it out. What he should have said to Jesus is, "Jesus, you know what to do. I don't know what to do." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many?" Again, Andrew fails because he's trying to figure it out. What is this among so many? Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place. So the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much fish as they wanted. When they had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments that are left over, so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected the fragments and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves, more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world. That was going to be a messianic sign. They really wanted a king like David, like Solomon. And now here he is. Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. I am not this kind of king. I didn't come to establish a soup kitchen. I didn't come just to establish hospitals. I love your body, and I care for you when you're sick. I love your needs, and I care for you when you're hungry. But my main concern is for the salvation of your souls. John's Gospel, the sixth chapter, is then going to go on to talk about the Eucharist. This is a preparation of their minds, that I am the bread that has come down from heaven. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have life in them. So Jesus knew what he was going to do. But what I really feel is on this, especially this 17th Sunday of Ordinary Time, that the preaching, especially in the houses of Christians, where we worship, in our cathedrals, in our basilicas, in our places of worship, both Orthodox and Protestant and Catholic, what I feel is we may be divided about the interpretation of the Eucharist, but we have been so messed up with regard to the body, that is, the body of Christ, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. The body of Christ has been broken here on earth, that we are, through our baptism, one body, one Christ. Through the Eucharist, Christ wants to feed us, as the Orthodox and the Catholics still maintain their devotion to the Eucharist and the Mass and the liturgy. But the body needs healing. Jesus has come for the kingship. What is that kingship that we have? There is no way to a God except through Jesus Christ. He came into the world for the salvation of all of mankind. On this 17th Sunday, in our cathedrals, in our basilicas, Jesus has a desire for the entire world. That's why he came from his Father, our Father in heaven. What is the message that we've really heard? Have we really heard what Jesus wants from us, his followers, his disciples? You see, the apostles really didn't get it. They really never understood that during his lifetime. It was when he suffered, when he died, and when he rose from the dead. They didn't get it then. It was when he ascended into heaven. The church was established on Pentecost. The Protestants, the Catholics, and the Orthodox, who are now divided, listen to Paul. Our calling is that we are one body in Christ. God, the Father, who is over all and in all and through all, God, our Father, has sent Jesus into the world. Jesus, who is this Jesus? When I was in Omaha, I really heard the voice of Jesus through a man. He had come to me, and his wife had been sick 2 years ago. I prayed with her, and I anointed her, and she got well. And he was always so grateful. When I was leaving, he has cancer. Cancer of the eye, a rare cancer that he's going to have to go through a lot of suffering. And we prayed to that same Jesus. And here's what he said. Father, what I'm looking for is to do the will of God. Whatever God wants. If I'm supposed to get well, then I will get well. If I'm supposed to have this cancer and it's supposed to kill me and I will die with it, then thy will be done. I heard the voice of Jesus. You see, Jesus came into the world and united himself to this Christian, this man, this beautiful follower of Jesus. And he said exactly the Our Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth in me as it is in heaven. And if I die, I will glorify my Father in heaven. And if I live, praise God and glory to God in heaven. I heard Jesus in a man, in the kingdom. His kingdom is united with Jesus in himself. I came back and Diane called me, and she was absolutely screaming with torment and pain. Her son had hung himself, and she had discovered his body. And as we prayed, I heard God in her, that her son is not a suicide. Her son is loved by Jesus. When she had him as a little baby, he was baptized into Christ Jesus. When he was growing up, he had so many problems of whatever depression and whatever he was assailed with mentally. He's not a Judas. God, his father, she was really in her heart prepared now to give her son to God. The anguish and the pain that I saw in her was Mary on the cross with Jesus dead. The faith, I saw Jesus in Diane. Jesus is alive. I see Jesus in a couple that I know who broke with freedom from their family, who were domineering them, oppressing them, not letting them really be free. Their children are absolutely beautiful, and they're God's family. They're moved away, and God wants to take care of them. So he's concerned about their bodies as well as their souls, but their primary relationship is with the Father. Through their discernment, they left the father and mother. They were so in bondage, and they left the father's business, and they went, and even though they took a tremendous cut in salary, and even though their things are struggling, every day they get up, give us this day our daily bread. God is concerned about them and cares for them because he loves them and they are his free children to now do his will here on earth. They want to do his will in their families. I heard the voice of Jesus in a priest who made a 30-day retreat. And as he was praying in contemplation with Jesus up on the mountain, after refusing to become an earthly king and wanting to see the kingdom of God established. I have come not to be an earthly king. And as he went up to the cross and contemplated the crucifixion and death of Jesus, and when Jesus went into hell, the contemplation that he had of Jesus, so powerful to march into hell for a heavenly cause. Jesus in hell, freeing all those who were in bondage. Who is Jesus? Going into the deepest pit of hell. Going through the deepest darkness and the furthest corner of hell. And finding there Adam and Eve, cringing and crying. For so many centuries, for so many millennia, and now the Savior had come for all mankind. And he had gone into hell and took that first couple. He had come to save all mankind. Jesus is a king. He's no plastic king. We want to make him so small. I pray today that the kingship of Jesus Christ is preached over the whole world. He wants to save every soul in heaven, and that's where they belong. His kingship is so great. That's the one who is in you. Paul tells us today, and I pray that this message of Paul can be heard again, and we can begin to realize and understand the meaning of this teaching. You see, the apostles didn't get it. Oh, what are we going to do, Lord? You know, there isn't enough here for how can we? Jesus, you know what to do. I still think there's the Phillips in the church today, and there's the Andrews in the church today. And what does Jesus really want? He wants our relationship with him. He wants deep within our hearts what Doug said to God, "Your will be done. Whatever you want. Whatever is your will and the Father's will, that's what I want." No one can say that except Jesus. I've met so many priests and so many spiritual leaders who do not know that deep within them there is Jesus, the King of the universe, the King of heaven and earth. They are in relationship with him that makes them the Son of the living God. That the God who made the universe is my Father and your Father, our Father. Paul, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live a manner worthy of your calling, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, as you were also called to the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. He came from heaven to unite you with him. And as the song goes, 10,000 years from now, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. We have a King who has come to establish an eternal kingship, and he dwells in me. And your calling is to bring him to the world. You were called to be Christ in the world today. God bless.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essiff. To hear and or to download this episode, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essiff.